Born to Run. I believe that's your operative phrase in that song. Number eight, the Hall of Famer, Steve Young, joins us. What's going on, Steve?
Good one, dude.
Shit, boys. Yeah, first of all, Springsteen, it's that time. You know,
yes.
We're going to Philly. It's going to be gritty. It's going to be gritty and tough. But what I like, look, do we want a game where we have to throw for 300 yards and score 38? Not my favorite way to look at this one. Do we want to run the football and create opportunity for Brock off of play action and kind of pound at them? Kind of do. And so that's I picked Born to Run just because I want to make sure that, you know, this is going to be this is freaking gritty stuff. I mean, this is both teams are so good that they've never played anyone like them. The only time that I saw the 49ers, and unfortunately got tested with the Chiefs, but that's the best team that the 49ers saw this year. And the Eagles really, I mean, I don't know if they saw anyone like the 49ers the whole year. I'm trying to think. You know, and their whole schedule, I don't think they saw anyone like the 49ers. And so it's going to kind of be new for both teams to face someone so good. And I think that's unusual. Usually there's better teams in the league that kind of get you ready for the top. But this one, the way the league's constructed right now, there's not that many great teams. And so in that way, there's a little newness in it.
Isn't this the Spider-Man meme where they're pointing at each other like, hey, you remind me of me. I mean, they do it differently. It's not exactly the same, but they both like to run the ball. They both love to get after the quarterback. They're both super physical, and their rosters are only equaled by the team on the other side. I mean, they're the 1 and 2 rosters in the NFC, and you could argue one way or the other, but that's why this game is 2.5-point spread. It's basically a pick'em game is what it is, but the fact that they're so equal and they do things fairly similarly, like they have the same kind of dynamics going with the team. They have the same kind of physical attitude going into a football game. I think that's why, for me, this one makes it just fascinating stuff.
And I would add that because I try to say this every week just to make sure we get it straight. In the last 4 or 5 years, the whole game has changed. So that if you're running like the Cowboys 2014 stuff like last week, it's archaic because there's so many yards to go get, so many open spaces that you're not taking advantage of running those old schemes, that anyone who coached and wants to call the same things they did, you know, a dozen years ago, 10 years ago, is just behind. And so both Philadelphia with a new coach and with Kyle, they're deploying these best-in-class rosters with really thoughtful, innovative kind of approaches. That doesn't mean always heaving the ball deep, but I just appreciate their play calling. I watch Sirianni, the combination of plays and how he uses those unique receivers and finds space and creates place for Jalen to be super successful. And so I think that in that way, it's even better a matchup to your point, Tom, is that not everybody's figured out that the game has changed and they've found the innovative minds to kind of go get the extra space and extra yards that are out there. They waste them because they're trying to run old stuff, where both the Eagles and the 49ers running really cool new stuff and have the best rosters. So super fun.
Yeah. What were your thoughts on Purdy last week? Because I thought he played better than maybe even the numbers would have suggested, because in certain games, I feel like you should get credit for what you don't do, not just what you do. And I thought what he didn't do was almost as important as what he did do.
It was a veteran game. He played a veteran playoff game. And that is making sure that you're not part of the problem ever. And then just taking the space, especially as exactly what Joe Burrow did last week. Mm-hmm. Just play the game, take the ball, put it in the hands of people quickly. If there's nothing there, don't do anything stupid. And it changed the game for the Bengal game, and it changed the game for us, because Dak, honestly, I don't know what to say about Dak, because there's games like against Tampa when it's just very, it's a flourish, right? And things are really going well. But when he drops back and hangs in there and then throws a check down into double coverage, you just wonder what, not even double coverage, but the first guy that touches it is the defender on a check down. then you're not seeing, you're not that force that I talked about a few weeks ago, the Star Wars reference. The force is that you just sense that. You see stuff that on, you know, it's basic and fundamental, and he doesn't see it. And then, you know, you want to say, well, he's a great player. Yes, but, and I don't know if it's a fatal flaw or something he can work out of, but, and I also believe that he can be asked to run a more innovative, you know, 2023 system, which would be helpful. But still, regardless of what you call, if you can't wait, you know, bounce, get the check down and not throw it to the defender who's got leverage on the play, you just, I don't know, tough to think about.
Yeah. How tough was it for you? Or let me put it this way. When you came over here and you started playing some playoff games and meaningful games toward the end of the season, how tough was it? Because you had all the skill in the world, both with your legs and your arm. How tough was it to play that veteran-type playoff game where you're like, I don't have to win it, but I'm not going to lose it?
I don't know. I mean, it's when you can – that's the hard thing for Patrick for Josh and, you know, for Jalen, is that, you know, there's so much I can go get done. And I felt the same way. And so it's hard. I probably screwed that up plenty, because I was always thinking that there's something more to get. There's something to go do. And that was the fine line. There's such a fine line between, you know, recklessness and a field goal. Like, recklessness is not what you want, and a field goal is not what you want.
Yeah.
You know, getting the ball down inside the 30 was commodity work. I mean, it's like, yeah, whatever, just get it there. But down inside the 30 is where that's where it all happened. And you couldn't, you can't, you'll just kick field goals if you do your job. Hey, coach, I did my job. Yes, you did. You kicked a field goal. Congratulations. We actually need someone else to go out there who's going to do more. We're going to do more than that job, because that job's not the job. Wait, what do you mean? I did the job. Well, yeah, but that's not the job. The job is to figure out a way to put it in the end zone.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think that finding that, you know, that's the difference between a career that kind of fizzles out and a career that kind of takes off, is you figure out that narrow space between field goal and recklessness.
Is using the force, and then Spaceballs is use the Schwartz. That's one of my favorites. Schwartz. The Schwartz. Schwartz is as big as mine, I think is what he says. Talking to Steve Young here, in terms of Brock Purdy using the force and the Schwartz, I felt like in both the first half against Seattle and you talked about against Dallas here, a little erratic, and I felt like he was hurried, but then he adjusted to the speed of the game. Do you notice that? Is there an adaptability factor with him? It's like a guy having a bat against a pitcher he hasn't seen before. Then he sees him, he adjusts, and now he's not going to get fooled by that pitch again. I just feel like he's adjusted well in the last two games, and that's been one of his best traits or attributes, I think, in the second half.
One of the best qualities of a very good football player, a quarterback, is that when he makes a mistake, he fixes it. Like, it doesn't hang around. It's not. It doesn't become a narrative, right? And so, yeah, you can screw up. And a lot of times it doesn't necessarily mean the screw up that you would know about. It's something that he felt. It's like, okay, we're not doing that. And I love that about him and about great players, is that you don't want, you want to be able to iterate quickly and stop the bleeding. I thought always really good players always were able to stop the bleeding. When things are going haywire, things are going well, I can coagulate, right? I can stop it. I can end it. And I think good players figure out how to do that. And so I agree with that. It's finding that measure where you're just, okay, wait, I'm a little bit crazy right now. Calm it down. And I think, again, great play callers help that, right? They sense it. They're like, okay, hold on. We go on the bootleg. We throw one up for grabs. Should have been intercepted. Okay, we're not going to do that for a little while. We're gonna put Christian out, and we're going to spread it out and then let him go one-on-one. And when he, whatever way he turns, throw him the ball. And because we're getting protected, kind of quality protection with five guys against a really good pass rush, he can bounce, and wait for Christian to figure out which way he wants to go, and then throw him the ball. And in that way, that calms everybody down. Nice gain, something that's not that hard, and I don't need to get kind of crazy. And I think that that's Kyle's – there's a lot of superpowers in the 49ers. One of the superpowers they have is Kyle's ability to kind of manage that as well with the quarterback.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
How ahead of the curve are you as a young quarterback like that, if you have that trait? Because it seems to me that's something that, you know, not everybody has or understands or gains, but it does seem like something that you can learn and adapt to and adjust to as you get older or get more experience. But if he has that coming in, how big is that to have that trait immediately?
I think it's actually a natural ability that gets exposed or it comes out. I think you kind of have it or don't have it, but I think you can learn how to, you know, it's like, oh, well, I didn't know that that was a part of my game. And I think I got people, I remember I compared him to Patrick Mahomes a few weeks ago. I was like, oh, he can't be bad. What I'm saying is the presence on the field, that sense of peace, that regardless, you can be not a great player or a great player, but a sense of peace on the field is what I was comparing him to, because I felt that way when I first saw Patrick get on the field. It's like, I don't know what he's going to do with his career, but he is a man on a presence. Like, you know, when you're in the middle of a play and you have the presence of mind, the calmness of mind to see things that, you know, when you get going too fast, your mind starts to race, that you don't. And we make fun of quarterbacks all the time where, you know, you go to the sideline, the coach says, what did you see? And the truth is he saw nothing because his mind was racing. He has no idea. He doesn't even know there's people in the stands. Like, what color is your jersey? I don't know. You know, I have no idea what's going on out there. It's chaos. And I think that most players deal with that. The players that can see the full measure of their athletic ability, like Patrick, because he has that presence, he can go see the full measure of his athletic ability, which is amazing. You've seen it. It's incredible. Brock's probably a little bit more limited, but he's going to see the full measure of whatever he can be because he has that presence of mind. And I think that's why, you know, I said that. And I really feel when I talk about the force is really that unique trait that somebody has where their heartbeat actually doesn't get elevated. And the ultimate one of that was Joe. There's times when I was like, Joe, I thought he might be asleep. You know, he's like, he's just so chill. And you're like, bro, you got to yell at somebody. You got to scream. He's like, no, man, let's just go do our job. I'm good. And he was good. And he was not good. He was great. And that was a real lesson for me on how to bring out that quality in myself.
I think I'm going to get myself a T-shirt that says, I can coagulate. That'd be a fantastic T-shirt.
I can coagulate. Hey, I love can. That. I think that would mean a lot to me. Yes. I can stop the bleeding, right? I can end this. I can be the force of good that I need to be out on the field. And I'm not going to continue. That's what I can't stand watching NFL quarterbacks are being paid to play, that the standard should be that I can coagulate. I can self-regulate the mess that I'm making. And I see guys that are playing in the NFL, it's like, bro, you're a mess and you just keep throwing up mess. Like, no, we're not doing that. That is not cool. That is not the standard. That is not how you get paid to go play. And I think that you can not have this quality of presence and this sense of peace. That's fine. And you can have elements of it or gradations of it. But what you got to be able to do is stop the bleeding. Like, I'm not going to be someone. I've been in games where I've thrown a couple picks. I'm like, no more. There's not three is not in the cards. It ain't happening. And so, you know, you stop the mess. You can see where you're headed. And I see guys throwing up, you know, three or four picks and then just fumbles, strip sacks. You're like, no, I don't care what you do. What you cannot do any longer is be a force for disaster for this football team. And nothing, you know, that quarterback play like that, just other 49 guys could be balling out. And it's like, it doesn't matter. You know, we got this chaotic crazy freaking nutball out here just throwing it around. Like, it doesn't – nothing. 40, one guy can't steal from 49. And I think – and that's why Brock's youth is really amazing, because he has not stolen at all from the ability of the other 49 and the talent and the incredible skills that they have on the sidelines, that they have on the field, all the assets they have. He has not stolen from that. And I think that's an amazing quality that he has, that he's shown early in his career.
Yeah, you don't want to be Ben Stiller from Something About Mary. We got a bleeder. You don't want to be that guy.
No, but that's what you but I don't that's want what that I always guy. Say, you can bleed. You can be spurting blood. That's fine. I get that. It happens. Freaking chaos happens. It does. But I will not spurt. I will not continue to spurt all over the place. We're ending that. We are going to cauterize that, right? We're going to clamp. Give me a clamp.
We
got a bleeder.
This is one that I we've talked to two or three people now, and we'll continue to talk to people about the NFC Championship game leading up to it. But the Eagles offensive line and the Niners defensive line is just fascinating to me, because we're talking about the best versus the best, and whoever gets the best of that matchup, I think it's going to go a long way to deciding who wins this game. But for the life of me, I can't figure out who the hell has the edge, because the Niners always get pressure, but you don't get pressure against the Eagles because the Eagles keep you from getting pressure. I think that's going to be a fascinating game inside the game. Like, just the trenches always decide it. But
yeah,
what?
The problem is that Jalen is that force that makes you have to be like Nick's going to, he's got to be like, he can't do it like he would do Dak. I mean, Dak can move around, but not like Jalen. Yep. Jalen can go. And he can go, and not, he can't just escape the pocket. He can run for 30 and just spit it out. Like, just, okay, 30, go back to the huddle, let's play some more. Like, and for defenses, if it doesn't happen to our defense, then there's a concern and there's a little bit of, hey, let's watch for it. But when it happens, that's the lightning bolt that forces the huddle to go, okay, whew, right now we got to pull back a little bit, because we got to make sure that we don't, you know, this doesn't, again, stop the bleeding. Like, we're not going to allow Jalen Hurts to run for 181 yards like Colin Kaepernick did 10 years ago. Like, I'm not saying that's possible, but we cannot allow for Jalen Hurts to be doing it in the pocket, out of the pocket, running for first downs and touchdowns. We just can't do that. So to do that, you need more of a surrounding feel. I thought the Cowboys were a little bit – there was a nice preparation for this week in that way, because that offensive line is okay, and it gave gave our defensive line a credit. And the other side of the ball, I thought that their defensive line was something that they're going to see. I think the pressure that I really helped our offense and Brock see what, like, that high-end pressure feels like. And so you can kind of meter that. You can kind of watch for exactly what that feels like. I thought that was very helpful to win that football game and go through that metering that happened when we saw the defensive pressure from, because the Philly's going to bring as much pressure as the Cowboys or more. And so that I'm glad we saw that.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
Are we going to we're going to reconnect with Steve. He was the connection was a little fuzzy there, but it is funny him talking about that because we were just talking about the emergence or the growth of Trevor Lawrence, and that's immediately what I thought about is if you're going to he said you could be bleeding, you could be squirting blood, leaking blood. I mean, that whole first half against the Chargers, he was squirting blood, but then he said
he damn near bled out.
He almost bled out, but he didn't. He cauterized it. He said, "I'll cauterize with four touchdown passes is what I'll do, and then we'll walk off on this one."
Yeah, but unfortunately for the Chargers are the ones giving him the infusion.
That was the issue. That was the issue. They're handing him the gauze, right? We got Steve back on the Uma guest line. Steve, we were saying Trevor Lawrence in the first half.
Your Wi-Fi bill. Well, I mean, come on. I got full bars. You guys got something haywire going up there. Stop the bleeding.
Full bar.
Cauterize.
We tried. That's why we reconnected. We didn't just let it bleed out. Otherwise, that would have been bad,
nice,
Steve.
Nice job.
Hey, we were talking to Jalen Hurts there. And Tom and I, before you came on, we were talking about how incredible the young quarterbacks in the AFC are. Then we both said, well, who's the best young quarterback or the best quarterback in the NFC? Is it Jalen Hurts right now?
Yeah. And I think that's with that coaching change, right? You could feel that what happened in that coaching change and the empowerment that he's given Jalen. And there's a confidence, like what I'm asked to do, I understand completely, and I can go execute it without raising my heartbeat. That's the big question. You don't just want someone running around not sure of themselves. He gave Jalen a sense of surety about what he was doing, and I give him a lot of credit for that. That is a coaching genius that can pull that off for the quarterback. And I thought that's the biggest difference for the Eagles. The Eagles have a great team. They have a lot of guys, a lot of good players. But it's the quarterback and his settledness throughout the season that made him more like an MVP. And I think that if that protection breaks down and they can start to have him do some hairy things can devolve because they're still young. They have not been swimming in the deep end very long. Mm-hmm. The Philadelphia Eagles, it's been since 5 or 6 years since the Super Bowl. They had 3 or 4 years where they were not in the deep end. They were in the shallow end, and now they're back. And so in that way, they haven't played a lot of teams like the 49ers. So there is a chance the 49ers can pound them into some place where they go, no one does this to us. Why is this happening? What do we do? And then by playoff football, it's over. It's like it's not a 7-game series. Like, it's done. And a bad half, and you're just you've collapsed. And so I think there's a small chance of getting that done for the 49ers.
Yeah, it's a great point. Tom and I said the same thing. That we're like, yeah, we want to see him do it, 2 and 3 and 4 years and see that consistency. But he's definitely made that jump this year. Time now for our Steve Young Forever Young Foundation Hero of the Week. Every week, KNBR and Steve Young's Forever Young Foundation are honoring a Bay Area hero as the Forever Young Foundation Hero of the Week. We've seen so many great individuals and organizations go above and beyond over the last year to support those who truly need it most. And this week, we salute Wender Weiss Foundation for Children. Their mission is to create moments of wonder that spark a lifetime of possibility by enhancing lives of youth for a bigger and brighter tomorrow. That's awesome stuff. That's creating goals and wishes and hopes. And, I mean, that stuff is as important as putting the kid in school to show them how to get there. It's set a goal and then walk backwards and figure out how to get to that step, Steve.
Aspirations, right? You have to have
exactly
the ability to see what's possible. And again, great service into the community so that people aren't just looking level out down the road. They look up, right? And look, well, what is the possibilities? I never thought that I could do that. I never believed that was possible and start to set those goals and go get them achieved. That's great. Good stuff.
No, good it's stuff. Awesome. All starts with the kids. All starts with the kids. As somebody like Jalen Hurts, they could use their arm and legs to hurt defenses. What gave you the most problems?
The worst thing that ever happened to me was Reggie White and Gilbert Brown. Because two guys, Reggie was, I mean, I'm sorry that people are too young to know or have watched Reggie White. I mean, like you can say about Lawrence Taylor, they've heard of that. But Reggie White at a down tackle was the largest human I've ever seen and the fastest large human I've ever seen and the strongest large human I've ever seen. And he was ferocious. And Gilbert Brown was the largest human I've ever seen, just in general. Like, he's just what did Gilbert weigh? 410? His football card said 350. If you own 350, you're 410. Like, who are you kidding? Right? Like, if that's you're true. Actually willing, because you know what happens. You – when you're a rookie, they give you a piece of paper. You write down for your football cards how your height and weight and where you went to school and, you know, all the little things that they want to know. And you know what? I always thought I was 6'2". That's why mine is 6'2". But Gilbert Brown wrote down 350. Bro, you write down 350, you're 4'10". I know it for a fact. And so that push, that in-your-face push every play, every time, it just, I mean, you're like, come on, man. I mean, it's just, it's tough. That was a, if that's what you're, is that what you're asking me, Tom?
Yeah.
It's kind of what was the toughest thing and I to deal with? Like, you can deal, look, even the zone blitz, when it came in 1993, the idea that you could play zone behind blitz was just otherworldly. It's like, what? Linemen freaked out. We were all freaking out. I could work that out much easier than I could Gilbert Brown and Reggie White every play, right up my gut, like my gullet, right in the gullet, every freaking play. Oh, man, it was just... Woo!
The grave digger,
people that
dude.
Forget Reggie White, all you have to do, go back and look at the Cowboys-Niners game last week and what Micah Parsons did to Mike McGlinchey. That's what Reggie White did to guys weekly. Weekly.
All the time.
I mean,
would just flail. People would be flying. It was like a cartoon. All bodies were flying. And the thing, I've told you the story before, but it's maybe worth repeating. He was loud. Reggie was a loud player. Like, rah! Like he was making a scream, you know, like, rah! And you could hear, and because you're so adept to it, you could hear him coming. You're like, oh, here he comes, closer, closer, and then bam, there he was, rah! You know, right in your ear. You're like, oh, freaking Reggie. Jeez.
And ask you about your dad. Yeah, how you doing?
How's your dad doing?
Right. Okay. How you doing? Yeah, Steve, how's it going? Like, Reggie, quit screaming in my ear, one. And two, don't ask me about my dad, because I don't want to talk about that right now. Right. Jeez.
You just got flattened. Tell your dad I said hi. Okay, good.
Yeah, tell your dad. How's your mom? Good? Family? Well, good. Your sister? Everybody great? That's great. Then the next play.
See you next series. Yeah, see you next
series. So after watching the end of the Niners-Cowboy game, the last play, were you thinking, man, I missed out on having Ricky Waters hike me the ball at the end of the game. I really wish I could have had that one time.
Look, that was the most innovation I saw all day from the Cowboys. I mean, that's what's called over innovation, right? That's when you've tried to. That's innovation when you're not used to it. Like, hey, we got to do something really innovative. Oh, let's put Zeke at center. That'll really get him, you know. And it's like. And I think it probably, on paper, obviously sounded really good, but deploying it, it was like George Seifert used to draw plays. George was a defensive genius, one of the great defensive geniuses of all time. And he would watch the defense that we were going to play, and he would say, oh, if I was running that defense, this play, he'd drop a play, and he'd hand it to us. Run this play. It'll kill him. And I was like, George, I don't know what to call it. I don't know what you're talking about. We don't have route trees that work that way. I don't know. It's chaos. He goes, I don't care. Run it. We go out to practice. We'd call it George's play on one, right? So we'd go out and run it. And then he'd be right behind me, and I'd drop back, and I'd be trying to figure out where everybody is. He'd go, now, now. Like, now what? And he'd be so upset, so mad that we didn't run his play that was going to kill him. This is going to kill him. We finally proved to him that you can't, as much as I realize that, yes, if we could figure out a way to work through our kind of innovative system to kind of work through your play, then great. But it just doesn't work that way. And so, and going back to the Cowboys' last play, a little bit outside of their bailiwick, right? Out of their specialty.
Yeah.
And then they run it. And I thought Zeke blew his knee out, or both. I thought it was a double knee blower. You know,
he gave him two alligators and then canned him just right on his butt.
That was it. Yeah. He's like,
throw it to Turpin. He gets stuck. Game over. Thanks for coming.
Oh, double knee blowout to end the year with no chance. To 5 seconds left. And I get my both knees blown out doing some crazy snap and run play of a.
By the way, Steve, I think actually based on Mike McCarthy's response, it wasn't an over thing. Here's what he said the play was.
It's obviously a gadget player or whatever.
whatever. I was like, his response to it after was very like, I don't know. Like, we just,
I don't know.
It was just kind of, what did you want? What were we supposed to do? You know? Yeah. It's kind of like, that was kind of, it was just like resigned to the fate. Like, look, don't make it about that play. I don't know what you want.
Oh, man. Yeah. So how does this thing, I said 24 probably gets it done. I don't think 19 gets it done this week, but
yeah,
24, 23, maybe 27. I don't like having to get into the 30s. I don't think this game will
be
that
I know.
High,
I agree with
24
you. 24
seems
put
right,
on,
doesn't it?
That's why I put on Born to Run, because we got to, well, I don't want to get into a 38, 30. I don't want to do that. Maybe. I mean, we went, hey, look, with what we've seen so far, we're back on, let's go. I mean, who knows? But I just, I don't know. I don't want to do it. I don't, that's not how I want to do it. I want to shorten the game, run it, pound it, be able to come out, play action. Brock's, you know, 15 of 22, you know, 180, touchdown or two, and then we just dominate the game and win 24 or 21. Yeah, something like that. I like that.
Thoughts on the AFC Championship game?
Whew. Is Patrick Mahomes healthy? I mean, if he's hobbling around, it's going to be tough. He's still magic, so I don't put it beyond him to go win it and do it. But if he's back, you know, he feels better. I think the Chiefs, and we saw the Chiefs this year up close and personal. You can see that Patrick's a better player than he was 2 or 3 years ago. And I think that because he's better, everyone else is better. They kind of feed off of that. Joe Burrow's a unique I don't put anything beyond him. I think he can do anything. He can go in and stay with you in 30 and 40 point games. I think he's getting behind the, you know, the too much blood flying around. You know, Joe had some moments when things were a little chaotic and haywire, but I think he's put that behind him too. So amazing game. If Patrick's not healthy, I think the Bengals, and if he's healthy, I think the Chiefs. That's how I look at it.
We're just talking about this, Steve, before you came on, looking at the AFC into the future. And we're going to see Mahomes and Burrow this weekend. You also got Allen. You got Herbert. You got Jackson. You got Lawrence. I mean, that is going to be – it's going to be rough getting to the AFC the next 4, 5, 6 years.
No, I've said this many times. 2033, the next 10 years, who is in the Super Bowl? It's going to be one of three people, unless Herbert gets some help, and if Lamar changes philosophy, they've got to change that. They're not going to get there. It's three guys. It's happened this year. Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes. They're going to – one of them – somebody's got to beat somebody twice. That's Joe's got to do that. Somebody's got to beat them once. That's Patrick this year, and it's just going to spin around. And if Justin doesn't get the help necessary or Lamar doesn't figure out a way to get the philosophy changed to allow him to go compete with those guys, that's it's three guys. For the next, and then Trevor Lawrence, he does seem like they're growing into it. So I agree with you. And that's why everyone in the AFC, you better have somebody that at the end of the season can go beat Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes week, you know, 1 week and then the next. Who can do that? Don't tell me some great defense. Don't tell me some running game. Don't tell me that. It needs to be some alpha, incredible, talented closer like the NBA has. Gets the ball in the fourth quarter and can go close the game. And if you don't have that, you're out. You're out from August on. That's it's chalk. It's done.
Don't even show up. Like, August
it's
on.
Done. It's done. And I and if I was the Jets or I was Miami or I was name them anybody. That's like the Titans with this run game, great defense. Yeah, no. No chance. Don't know. Go find that guy, or else you're just going to be popcorn in it from Christmas on. It's over. It's done. Like, forget it. And I don't know why it's so hard for people to see that. Like, quit. That's why I yell at Baltimore all the time. Stop with this, you know, Raymond Bully, and we're going to go be the sophisticated runners. Like, I love it. It's amazing. Rank and file. You crush the rank and file. You're always in the playoffs, but then you're popcorn in it every time because you've got it. Lamar needs to develop into this alpha that he absolutely can do. Everyone says, oh, he can't do it. I was like, screw that. He can. But we've got to philosophically change that to allow for that to happen. Or the AFC, the next 10 years, chalk, done.
It's over. Put it in a book.
It's over. Kaputz, Epitz, Rian, Nada.
Adios, TKO.
I grew up in the mean streets of Greenwich, Connecticut, and we had a lot of different cultures, and everyone had, you know, Epitz, Nada. And there was all this, it's over kind of words that we would have. We have like six or seven of them, and they all meant the same thing. And I can't remember. Epitz was must have been Hungarian and not. I mean, it was just all these. And that's when the game was over, we would scream all these words out like it was over in like six languages. It was pretty cool.
Steve, as always, let's hope for one more show featuring 49er talk.
Wouldn't that be something? Oh, yes. Crap, that'd be awesome. You could feel it coming from a long time ago, and the idea is, yeah, this is where it happens. This is a great ball game. Great people, great times, good stuff. I love it. 49ers. I interviewed George last week for ESPN, and that dude is why they're great. Because it's the same thing the Warriors had when the championship years. They're like, you know, we take anybody on. No problem, because we're selfless and we're excellent. We watch out for each other. We don't bitch at each other. We don't fight. We solve problems. We self-police in the locker room, and we don't care who gets it done. We're not going to worry about it. And I think there's an incredible spirit. It's the spirit we had in the 80s and 90s. It's the spirit that was in the 19 team. The I got your back, guys. This is what we have, and it's very, very special. And it's carried us this far. It's really cool.
No doubt about it. Oh, you just sparked something that now we're up against it, but I have to ask you, because we've been hearing this sound clip when Ed McCaffrey was on with the Murph and Mac, and he was saying how incredible the locker room is, and they talk about conversations, and they'll say, what do you want, Super Bowl or Hall of Fame? And he goes, everybody says Super Bowl, like everybody's selfless, they want to win. And I'm like, yeah, that's because they're right in front of each other. But as my dad used to say, my ass, no one's taken a Super Bowl ring over a Hall of Fame career. I want to know what it's like to kick the other guy's ass every night. You get the money that goes along with it. You get the longevity of an incredible career that goes along with it.
Graduation,
like, it sounds
speeches,
great, yeah. And selfless and everything that, yeah, I want to win the Super Bowl. You're out of your mind if you would take Super Bowl over a Hall of Fame career.
Tom, that's just said. I mean, those are those what I call rhetorical questions that have, like, they already answered themselves. You want both. Like, you know, we're individuals. We're out there making careers for ourselves. But what is primary, what is premier, is the group. And that's why football is an amazing sport, because you've physically got to put your body in at risk. And the risk is what drives the camaraderie. It's what drives the relationships. And that's why football is nothing else. Because of that. And that's why when people say, what would you rather do in that moment, because of the camaraderie that you've built, there's nothing greater. My greatest sporting moment was rising up from a Super Bowl win in the locker room afterwards and looking at the other 49 guys and like, yes, this is what it's about. Because that is what it's about. No one's going to say, oh, I'd forget the Hall of Fame. Like, but it's not, you know, no one's, that's just a dumb question. Like, which one would you rather have? Like, it's the wrong paradigm. It's a transactional relationship that you don't want. It's like, We're about Super Bowls, and if a Hall of Fame rolls in, sweet. Anyway, who asked?
So
you
what
that
would
question?
You? So what would you rather
your
have?
Dad? Stop! You're so stupid. Ridiculous. You guys actually, I think sometimes literally you don't listen. You just ask a question, and do you have a crossword that you do? What are you doing? Where you just get lost? Do you listen? I know.
No, I do listen. That's why I re-asked it. Because I know I knew you would react the way
you
reacted.
Steve Kerr told me, I was like, Tom's not a wise now. He's not a wise guy. He's not a wise guy. He's straight up. And he goes, oh, no,
dude, what?
You don't know Tom.
Had you fooled?
And I was like, who knows? Here we go. Now Kerr was right.
Yep. Go look at that jacket before you go to bed tonight and tell me you'd give it up for a ring.
He's got both already. He's good. He's
of course he has both. Yes, he does.
Yeah, ask somebody who's got both. It's different.
Jacket with the buttons are falling off. The Hager jacket with the buttons falling off. Come on, we got to upgrade that.
Yeah, Van Heusen.
The Van Heusen.
You and Jerry have your Van Heusen Hall of Fame jackets.
We got to upgrade. We got to upgrade.
Love the video, too, with you and Jerry, Steve. That was cool, man. That was fun.
Oh, man. Enjoy the games this weekend. Yeah. Hopefully we'll be talking Niners Super Bowl next week. It's going to be a hell of a game, hell of a weekend of football. So looking forward to it.
Phenomenal football games. Awesome. All right, boys.
Absolutely. See you, Steve. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it, man.
Okay.
Good stuff.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing to say.
Congratulations.
Feels
we're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.